You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Before we open up the Word of God, I want you to just bow your heads all over this house. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight, as we preach your Word, I thank you, Lord, that now the windows of heaven are opening and a spirit of wisdom and revelation is coming on your people. Lord, remove every distraction. And I pray that you would touch every one of us tonight supernaturally. Do not let us leave here the same way, but let us leave changed by the power of God. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy in the wonderful name of Jesus. And if you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Give that worship team a hand one more time if you love them. What a great job. Praise the Lord. The Gospel of John is where I want you to turn. And let's start, if you have your Bible, Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. And I want to start reading tonight with the fifth verse. I'll read a few verses. But I want to show you something that's really going to stir your faith up tonight regarding the power of God in you and the power of God that's working on your behalf. It's good to see my friend Jimmy Douglas in the house. Love Brother Jimmy. I've known Brother Jimmy since I was probably, 2 years old? Since I was born. Since I was born. And that's how long our families have been connected. His father pastored off of Red Hills Road in Kingston, Jamaica. And my father, one of his first places he ever preached as a minister. I'm a third generation minister. My grandfather pastored 62 years, had four sons that are all to this day still ministering over 40 years each. And then all their children are ministering right now full time. There's something like 14 Shuttlesworths in full time ministry right now. You can't get rid of us. We're like cockroaches. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. And his father was Bishop James Douglas, was the first to invite my father to speak overseas. And my father left a New England Bible school in Rhode Island and traveled to Kingston, Jamaica, and spent time through the island preaching. My dad says that, you know, he was too wild for the United States back in the 1970s. He said, I was too wild to preach in the churches in the U.S. They sent me to Jamaica. And my father spent a lot of time. And that's where I got an inherent love for beef patties and cocoa bread. That's how it's in my spirit. See, I came in with that. And, you know, I don't discriminate. I like juicy patties and tasty beef. You know what I mean? I'll eat them both. Juicy beef and tasty beef, both. I'll even eat the other one. What was it? Mama's? What was the other one, the original? Mother's. I'll eat Mother's. I'll eat them all. I don't care. I don't discriminate. Amen. I remember I was down there not long ago. I was in Kingston and I went to Portmore and I was spending time with Power of Faith Ministries, Dr. Delford Davis. And they took me out. I had a proper Jamaican breakfast. I had roasted yam. I had ackee and saltfish. I had it all, man. I was tearing it up. You know what I mean? I came back from Jamaica. My clothes didn't fit. You know what I'm talking about? And it was a wonderful thing. I mean, it was bliss. And they took me up to Mandeville, and on the way, see, I hadn't been there in a while. My wife and I, that's where we spent our honeymoon, was all through Jamaica. We went to Jamaica and spent time in all the different areas of the island. But I didn't realize how cool it is up. They took me up to Mandeville. It's so cool up there. But they took me to a place, it was like a drive-through spot where you could get patties on the way. We needed snacks for the drive, you understand? And I didn't realize there was not just beef patties now. You got all kinds. There's shrimp patties and there's chicken and there's, what's the one? Now they got cheese and all callaloo. They got everything in there. Everything in there. So you have obviously, you know, I had to try one of everything because that's just, you know, you want to do that. It's healthy for you. So we, And so now, you know, now I got, you got to, I moved here to be closer, amen, to the Caribbean Islands. Because I do have a heart for the Caribbean Islands. And it's wonderful because now that I'm down here in South Florida, you can find this very easily. Where I was before in Virginia, you had to kind of search if you were going to get, you know, rice and peas and festival. And, you know, you had to search. Down here, you can find some places very easily. And it feels like heaven. Hallelujah. I'm convinced, let me just say this to you, I am convinced in my heart tonight that when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, there will be curried goat I'm telling you, right now, there will be curried goat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I'll be there, How many will be with me on that day? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know it's good. See, some people turn their nose up at that. I don't turn. That's good eating right there. That's good eating. They've got the goats trained in Jamaica. I was walking down the street. They were just walking on the sidewalk with me. I said, they know where to walk. Unbelievable. It's wonderful. Did I give you enough time to get to John 15? Are you there? John 15. I want to look at three verses, starting verse 5, and we'll jump through to verse 7. This is going to stir your faith up tonight in a big way, because you're going to see something that maybe you've never seen it this way before. But when you see it by a spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's going to cause your faith to jump up to a new level when you understand the power of God that's flowing through your body. The fifth verse of John 15, look what Jesus himself said. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. So whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Now catch this, verse 7 is powerful, man. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Whoo, glory to God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it shall be done unto you. But I want to take a second right at the outset of this and focus on that first verse that we read, the fifth verse, where he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. One of the interesting things, you start to study the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. See, I grew up playing sports. It's funny, even though they did the whole separation of church and state, isn't it funny? How many grew up playing sports? You play any sports? How funny was that? That even though it was like the whole separation of church and state, they would still have all the athletes praying the prayer before the game. Our Father who art in heaven. Ain't nobody even saved. People are praying the prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be. And then in the middle, like cussing everybody out in the locker room. Let's take a knee. Everybody take a knee. And that we learned it. It was like we learned it by memory. And we'd say it before every game, after every game in the locker room. And you hear those words over and over. And it's interesting because there's one part of that prayer I want to draw to your mind as we deal with this John 15. He said this, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a crazy thing to think of, because it's a prayer saying, God, bring heaven down to earth. Or if you could think of it this way, it's probably easier for us now with all of us getting into technology. If you have a smartphone, you start to recognize we used to have to plug our phones into the computer to sync them. But now they've got it where you can sync it to the cloud. And when you sync it to the cloud, is that all your online storage that's there, whatever service you may use, it backs it up for you so that even if the device is destroyed, that if you get a new one, you can just pull all your data back down to the new device and you don't lose pictures or videos or contacts or messages or anything because you have synchronized it to the account in the cloud. And as a result, watch this, it's in the cloud. It looks the same as it does on the earth. You see this, your data looks the same. My pictures are all the same in the cloud as they are on the earth, because there's been a synchronization between what's in the cloud and what's on the earth. And the thing that's powerful about that is that I could go on any browser. I could jump on my laptop and access my cloud storage, and if I wanted to, dump a picture in there from my digital camera. I could go to a birthday party or wedding and take all those photos and dump them in from my camera to the cloud. And even though they weren't taken on my phone, because my phone's connected to the cloud, when there's changes in the cloud, it syncs down to my phone. So what I'm trying to show you is this, is that when God begins to do something in heaven and makes a change in the heavenly realms, then the things have to change here on the earth, because the prayer said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what Jesus was teaching his people was this. He was saying, you've got power to access the data that is in heaven. So that, now here's what this will blow your faith up, man. If you study Paul's teaching, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, now that we're new creatures, he said, now we are ambassadors of Christ. How many have read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe is verse 20. He said, now we are ambassadors of Christ. This gets me excited, man, because when you truly understand what an ambassador does, if you were to go to New York or Miami, or you go to any of these major cities, you know that there are consulates or there are embassies of these other nations in our cities. DC, New York, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, they've got embassies from other nations. And here's what's crazy. Because we've made agreements with these nations and we've said you can build an embassy in the U.S. If you were to walk into the Chinese embassy in New York, watch this. The moment I walk into the embassy, I am literally no longer on American soil. Watch this. New York NYPD cannot come in there and start arresting people. You know why? Because the moment their feet cross the threshold of the embassy, they've lost their jurisdiction. Because we've got an agreement that says, now we've given you this, it belongs to you, and inside these borders, you have control. And see, when they send an ambassador from their home nation to our nation, that ambassador has full representative powers of his home nation. He speaks on behalf of China, even though he's in the U.S. Oh my goodness. So when he speaks, catch this with me. When he speaks, he's actually speaking on behalf of a government that's not even there. Oh man, he doesn't own the country. He doesn't run the country, but he speaks on behalf of the country. Why? Because the leadership of that government has given him a title and said, I'm sending you out to represent us in our foreign affairs. And here's what's amazing, is that the fact is that now that we have that agreement and the government's given him that position, he now abides in that embassy and has the control of his home nation in a foreign land. And Paul said, you are ambassadors of Christ. Catch this. When you get saved, earth is no longer your home. But your citizenship has transferred to heaven. And now you're heavenly beings that are living in a foreign land. So catch this now. When Paul said, you are ambassadors of Christ, he's going back probably in his mind to what Jesus said to the disciples, where he said, begin to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because as an ambassador, you have the right to enact the laws of heaven on the earth. How many have read this? Everywhere my foot treads, I have dominion. So I want you to see this building right here. These four walls do not and cannot contain the embassy of heaven. But when you leave out the door and wherever you may go, wherever your foot may tread, it is your embassy, because you've got dominion wherever you go. You've got authority wherever you go. You're not just an ambassador in the church. You don't lose your status when you go back to the parking lot. You're just as much of an ambassador at Pollo Tropical as you are in church. You're just as much an ambassador if you're at the mall, if you go to Miami, if you're at a Marlins game, if you fly up to New York or you go to another nation. You're just as much of an ambassador there as you are here. And you've been empowered to let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Watch. To synchronize what is in heaven to the earth. Let me give you an example. Is there any sickness in heaven? So they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why will they be able to do that? Because you've been given ambassador status. And now, oh man, watch this. Here's what's great. Sickness no longer has jurisdiction in your embassy. Disease no longer has jurisdiction in your embassy. It can't just run up in your house and start messing with you. Sickness can't start run up in your house and mess with you. You understand? Suicidal thoughts, chronic depression, anxiety attacks can't run up on you or your kids and start messing with your family. Problems with the relationships, issues, things that would break the family apart, it now has to run out the back door of your house, because there's a new embassy that's been created by the power of God, and you've been given authority and power. Hallelujah. So catch this one. When I took you here to John 15, here's the key. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, my words, see, he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So you understand, he's saying, if you abide in me, I mean, if you stay in me, why? Because I'm the vine and you're the branches. Hear this. If the devil was going to infect you, he would first have to infect the vine. Because you are connected to the vine. You're just a branch. You're not the vine. You're just a branch connected to the vine. So if the devil was going to infect you, he first has to infect the vine. Which means that the devil would have to travel into heaven, into a place he's already been ejected from. He'd have to take Jesus off the throne and take the curse back from Christ. For the Bible says Christ took the curse on our behalf and nailed it to the tree. He would have to wrestle the curse back from Jesus, travel back down, and then put it back on you. But I don't know if you know what I'm preaching about tonight, but the devil's got no access into the heavenly places. He cannot take Christ out, for Christ is the greatest of all. His name is above every other name, and his power is unmatched in the universe. He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and there's no devil in hell that can defeat the master. So you see, well, here's what I love. You see, I was telling them up in Atlanta, I think they thought I was a little morbid or something. One of my favorite things to do, I go on YouTube. I like to watch fights. I like to watch YouTube knockout compilations. I like to watch, you know what, I'll go on from that. I like to watch old Mike Tyson clips, because he was insane. I don't know why I said was, he still is insane. And I used to watch Mike get in the ring and fight guys with those crazy eyes. You know, he would have people beaten before the fight started. I mean, anybody remember Mike Tyson and watching him fight? He was a crazy man. And I'm watching him there. His eyes were just dead. He'd just look at you like, you're already dead. In my mind, I'm, because the thing about Mike Tyson was, if he can't beat you, he'll bite you. if he can't beat you, he'll eat you. You know, he was just insane. And I used to watch him fight. And I've seen a lot of those knockouts. I've watched all the best: Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Mike Tyson, Vander Holyfield. I've watched the hardest, best knockouts. I've watched all the best UFC knockouts. And I've seen a lot of people fall. And I've seen a lot of people get hit and get hit hard and knocked out in one punch. But all the knockouts I've ever seen, all the fights I've ever watched, and all the falls I've ever witnessed, I have never seen one person fall like lightning. Which shows you how hard God smacked the devil when he hit him. Because the Bible said he hit him so hard that Jesus in the future looked back over his shoulder through a tunnel of prophetic time and said, look, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Which means when the devil ascended into heaven to try to take control and take the throne, and he said, I will be seated on the throne and I will be like the Most High God and I will ascend into the heavens, God just simply said, you won't. Ow, and hit him so hard, the Bible said he fell like lightning to the earth. I don't understand why. I know it makes for a good music video or human video, like as if there's going to be some 15 rounds of boxing between Jesus and the devil in the final battle. But the devil can't handle the Jesus that you serve. I said the devil can't handle the Jesus that you serve. And one of the things you got to hear tonight is that when we do come down to the final battle after the millennial reign, 1,000 years, where Christ reigns on the earth, the Bible says that he will call the devil out of the shadows for the last fight. And in the prophecy, Book of Psalms said the devil will slink out of the shadows onto the battlefield. And everybody will look at him and point their finger and say, is this the one who weakened the nations? Is this the one that made the nation? They won't be able to believe it. You know why? Because when they truly see how much of a puny punk he is, their mind will be blown. Is this who I was looking under my bed for at night? Is this who I was scared of throughout my childhood? They won't be able to believe how small and insignificant he is. And the Bible says on the final battlefield, Jesus will be standing there with all of his angels from heaven. And they're all standing there with flaming swords and spears and bows and arrows, looking like bad, bad men. And all of us that are renewed saints that have gone to heaven and come back with Christ in glorified bodies, full of power and authority in the Holy Ghost, will be standing there bouncing like linebackers on Super Bowl Sunday. Coming for you. I mean, freaking out, ready to go, ready to go. And Jesus, the Bible said, and Jesus will stand everybody down and say, y'all just chill out. Don't need you angels. Don't need you believers. I got this one myself. And the Bible said Jesus will go out onto the battlefield. This prophecy said Jesus will walk out onto the battlefield. He won't draw a sword. He won't throw a spear. He won't have to shoot an arrow. You know why? Because the Bible says that he will consume all of his enemies with the breath of his mouth. His mouth will open up and the power of his spirit will consume every demon, every devil, and the devil himself by the power of the breath in his mouth. You know why he don't need a sword? Because the Bible said in Revelation 1 that out of his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword. All Jesus has to do is speak a word and everything has to change. All he's got to do is command it and it must come into being. I'm encouraging you tonight because it might be cancer that's attacked your body. It might be diabetes that's come against your pancreas. But I came to tell you all you need is one word from the master of the universe, and every wicked thing that's tried to touch your life has to run out the back door of your home. I'm encouraging you. Victory is your story by the power of the Holy Ghost. And no weapon formed against you can prosper. Somebody shout, no weapon. No weapon. No weapon. That's why I don't get afraid. I travel these countries, I don't get afraid. I've been to very dangerous nations. Very dangerous. I don't get afraid because you can't kill a dead man. And the Bible says that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm hidden, so how can the devil find me? Hallelujah. You can't kill a dead man. Can't do it. There was how many know who Pastor John Hagee is? Ever heard of him? Pastors of San Antonio, Texas. Big guy. And one Sunday, a guy didn't like his preaching. Guests had been following him for a while. Walked right in the back of his church. Came right down the center aisle with his handgun. While Pastor Hagee's preaching at his pulpit. Pulls the handgun out and just fires the whole clip at him. Whole clip. And he just stood there, never moved, and not one bullet hit him. But here's what's crazy. When the police came with the forensics team, and they saw where the man was shooting from, where Brother Hagee was standing, and where the bullet holes were in the drywall behind him on the platform, they said, that's crazy, Pastor, because several of these bullets should have passed through your body. But you can't kill a dead man. I said, you can't kill a dead man. Because if God is for you, tell me who can be against you. I said, if God is for you, tell me who can be against you. There's an anointing that's working on your behalf tonight. And I came here to encourage you. Whatever was sent to destroy you is being destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost. So get ready to shout in your victory as your miracles here tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. The victory of God belongs to you because you're his child. His covenant children have access to his blessings. In fact, every blessing, anything good, the Bible said in Psalm 84, verse 11, he will not withhold one good gift from those that walk uprightly. Somebody shout, that's me. No good thing will he withhold. I love this. I was reading in Romans the other day. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. He said, look, if God graciously gave us Jesus, it's Romans 8:32, how much more will he not freely give us all things? You know why he said that? I'm good, brother. Thank you. You know why he said that? He said it because Jesus is the greatest gift that could ever be given. So you know what he's saying, right? There's no greater gift than Jesus. So if God was willing to give us that, why wouldn't he give us freely all things? It's like how stupid it is. If I'm willing to give you a $100 bill, why would you think I wouldn't give you a $1 bill? If I said, here, have a $100, you say, oh, but yeah, but could I get a $1? I just gave you a $100. Why would you think I had an issue with $1? I don't understand how people get all tripped up on how good God wants to be to his children. Well, I don't know about that whole thing about, you know, driving a new car and having a house. God bless you with a house. You think God's tripping over a house? You think he cares that you have a pair of retro Jordans on or Yeezys? You think God cares that you wear a Rolex? He don't care about that. He gave you Jesus. If he gave you Jesus, he don't mind about some watch or some shoes or a car or a house. He's not worried if you go on vacation or if some preacher has a private jet. It don't matter. That stuff is insignificant compared to the gift that he already gave you. And his name is Jesus Christ. I don't know if Christians should be blessed with that much. Look. Like it, I mean, he's crazy to me. It always cracks me up, these people that have an issue with how blessed, if a Christian gets blessed. Isn't that funny? If people that are not saved get blessed, I was like, ooh, put that on Cribs. That's nice. I like that. I want to see his house. You got some rapper objectifying women, you know, carrying drugs from through state lines, gangster. People want, oh, I love how he has all the diamonds. You got businessmen, child molesters, cigar-smoking crooked bankers flying in private jets. But isn't that wonderful? He's in Forbes. And then you get a Christian that gets a new car. He must be doing something crooked behind the scenes. I'm going to tell you right now. I know he's dealing drugs. Ain't no Christian got that kind of money. Isn't it funny? Anytime a Christian gets blessed, always something wrong. That's wrong. I don't know why you would do that. Why would you have that? I don't know why you would have that. Why would you have that, Brother Jim? Look at that gold chain. Why would he have that? You know how many children could eat from that gold chain being sold, Brother Jimmy? There's hungry children. He got a gold chain. Oh, but he need a gold chain now, don't he? He need a gold chain. That's how religious people are. Mm-hmm. Look at him over there. Got him some new shoes and a gold chain. I'm sure God's real happy with him. That's how religious people are. Meanwhile, go back and read the Old Testament. What do you think? You think Abraham was rolling around in a broken down car that was held together by bumper stickers? Bible said the man became very rich with gold, silver, livestock. So rich, freaked people out. He had his own private army, the Bible said. Man was so rich, he wasn't even a nation. He became a nation. I told him this morning, his son was so blessed by God that the king of the nation they lived in showed up at his house, knocked on the door, and said, look, we want to ask you and all your people move to another nation because you're too blessed for us. That's seriously, if you had Donald Trump come to your house and say, please move to another country, you've become too blessed for America. That's serious. When they're telling you, please move away, you've got too much stuff. That's what they said to Isaac. Jacob, so blessed. They tried to curse Jacob, couldn't curse him. They tried to keep stuff back from him. You ever read the story of Jacob? Jacob's story is a funny story, man. You read Jacob's story. He was working for his crooked uncle because his uncle had a hot daughter. And he was like, I'm going to get that girl. She is fine. She looks good in skinny jeans and everything. Her name was Rachel. And he said, man, that's my girl right there. He said, work 7 years for me and I'll give you my daughter, Rachel. And he also had another daughter that did not look good. The Bible said she was tender eyes. She was cross-eyed, buck teeth. She was over there in the corner. Hello. And you know, he said, yeah, work 7 years. But you know what happened? Uncle tricked him. Gave him the other one. Had their wedding. Next morning, honeymoon, he rolls over expecting to see that beautiful face and is like, hello. He's mad. Now he's mad. He's like, I just worked for you 7 years and you gave me this tender-eyed Leah. It's me, Leah. And all of a sudden, Miss Lena's like, I can't believe you. And he has to work a whole nother 7 years to get Rachel. Then the whole story flips on you, right? Because Leah, even though she was the one that was not popular, back then women's worth in those days was based on their ability to give birth to sons. And Leah starts having babies left and right. The one that nobody cared for, that she wasn't the favorite. Then she starts having babies left and right. And Rachel's out in the rain because she can't have a child. I'm about to drop something on you. You thought I was taking a tangent. I'm tying this right back in. Because Rachel was not able to have babies. And so in that culture, it meant you were worthless if you could not produce. And she began to cry out. And the Bible says people started hating on her because she couldn't produce any babies. But I love what the Bible said. And when God saw that she was hated, he opened up her womb and she began to give birth to baby after baby. Let me just tell y'all something. There's a special blessing that is reserved for people that are hated for the name of Jesus Christ. I call it the haters' blessing. I don't know. Look, I need, according to scripture, I need some enemies. I need people who are standing against me because there are blessings in here that I can't even get until some people start hating what I'm doing. I need people that stand against it. For example, Psalm 23. One of the things we get in Psalm 23, you can't even get that blessing until you've got some enemies. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies and your cup will run over. See, I love this because it's a table. You might have four seats at the table, but there's only one place setting. That means the enemies are invited to the dinner, but not to eat, but to watch you eat. Hallelujah. And only reason they're there is to pass the butter, sucker. You got to watch how God's blessing me. You can mock me if you want. You can make fun if you want. You can look at me and laugh if you want. But get ready, because I'm going to eat in the presence of my enemies. Somebody shout amen. Amen. There's a blessing that'll come on God's people when they start hating you. And what I found out is if they're not hating you yet, you're not living it hard enough. Live it harder. I said live it harder till they start hating it. See, because this world's system will never love the Christ in you. It's an anti-Christ agenda that will never like the Christ in you. Always opposes it. But the Bible says, until he makes thine enemies thy footstool. Woo! That makes me happy. My enemies, every wicked thing that's been sent to destroy you is getting ready to become your footstool. You know what that means? If it's your footstool, it's under your feet. Anybody use that at home? You sit back and you got your ottoman or something in front of your couch or your chair. Maybe you got a lazy boy that pops out. You put them feet up. After a long day, feels good to just lay back and stretch out. And that ottoman or that recliner, that thing holds your feet up. But it has to be under your feet to hold your feet up. And what I'm prophesying to you tonight is get ready. Because whatever was sent to take you down is the thing that's going to hold you up. It came to take you down, but it's going to be the thing you stand on to stay up. Let me drop one more thing on you tonight. Because when you're connected to the vine, notice this. If you can't curse the vine, you can't curse the branches. If you can't poison the vine, you can't poison the branches. If you understand, and I'm no gardener or anything like that, but I have a basic understanding that if you are a plant, your branches are pulling the nutrients from the roots of the plant. If the roots are bad, the whole thing's going to be bad. See, if the body of the tree's rotted out, the tree's branches will fall off, because the branch is not the origin of the sustenance. The branch is not the origin of the life. It's in the roots. It's in the vine. So if the vine is made alive and you are just connected to the vine, then the devil would have to go to the source to destroy you. Are you hearing me preach tonight? The devil would have to go to the source to destroy you. He can't just take you out. He doesn't have the authority. He don't have the authority to come up there with a machete. Because here's the thing. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So what do you tell me? The devil's going to come up and chop your branch off while you're connected to the vine? He don't have access. I know what it feels like to not have access. I was flying one time, I was going through an airport, and I was hungry, and I'd always heard about these like private, the clubs, the airline clubs they have in these international airports. And you look up, I was young, I was just starting my traveling, probably just past 20. And I looked up, and there was like one of those beautiful, like club rooms, you know, they have the whole, they feed you a 3-course meal and all that. And I went up there and I was thinking, there's got to be some way I can get in. They got the beautiful blue lighting and the sign. And there's always the person at the desk looking at you like, what are you even doing looking at this room? This is not for you. And I said, hey, can I get in? I'm flying this, that, whatever. I said, can I get in? Well, do you have the membership? Why do they always have to have that attitude? Like, why do you have the membership? I was like, well, I know I got some credit cards here. I was pulling credit cards. I was like, you take that one. No. Do you take this one? By the time I was throwing Sam's Club cards down. You take Costco. Y'all take a Blockbuster card. I got everything in here. Huh? And no. And they deny you access. And you're standing out there and the automatic doors open and everything. It looks like the promised land inside. Everybody's happy. Everybody's drinking like cold drinks. You got like a warm soda from somewhere. You're like spitting it out. They're like, oh God. You got like old fries that they cooked 3 days ago at McDonald's in your bag. You look in, there's like filet mignons floating with wings. You just reach up, catch it, and you begin to eat it. Everybody looks so happy, but you got no access. See, here's the thing. There's no legal access for the devil. You can't come through the walls of heaven. He can't come in and take you out. He's got no authority to do that. He can't just take you off the vine. The Bible says the only way to come off the vine is if God himself removes you from the vine. But the devil cannot do it. So I want to encourage you tonight that if the vine cannot be cursed, then you cannot be cursed. In fact, I want you to say this with me. Say, what cannot curse Jesus cannot curse me. Say it again. If it can't harass Jesus, it can't harass me. Why? You've been connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have a connection to eternal power that cannot be messed with, manipulated, or molested by the devil. He's got no power over you. And so the Bible says God makes your enemies your footstool. That means it's under your feet. Cancer cells are under your feet. Arthritis, under your feet. Glaucoma, cataracts, under your feet. Type 2 diabetes, under your feet. Drug addiction, under your feet. Spirit of perversion, under your feet. Whatever's come to take you out is already under your feet, for you've been seated in heavenly places far above all principality and power, every name that is named. God will use you to take out giants for the kingdom. And I'll finish this before I pray for you tonight. Is that God will take somebody who looks like a nothing and make them a something. I love this because God loves an underdog story. He pulled David in. Think about this. David apparently was not well thought of by his own family, because when his father heard, a prophet's coming to your house to anoint one of your 8 sons as the next king, he said, ooh, sounds good to me. Bring my 7 oldest sons in, leave my young one out in the field. That's what he did. He left David out with the sheep. You know what that shows you? Even David's own father didn't believe in him. He said, if one of my sons is going to be king, it ain't going to be David. He ain't king material. And God said, as prophet Samuel stood in there, he stood in front of the oldest son. It ain't him. Nope. 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 Finally, he turned to the father and said, don't you have any other sons? He said, well, I got one more. He's out there, you know, with his little Jewish afro writing songs in his moleskin journal. I don't know what he's doing. He's hipster. I don't know about David. I don't know. He's out there writing poems, killing lions. I don't know what he does. We told him to watch sheep. He's killing bears, lions, writing songs, playing a harp. I don't really know what he's up to. Said, bring him in. They brought him in, and when he stood in front of the prophet, he knew by the Spirit, this is the one that nobody else believed in. How do you know? Even when he was anointed and went back to the sheep, goes out to fight Goliath, and his brothers are still talking trash. What are you doing out here? Who's watching the sheep? What are you doing? You're not even in the army. Why are you here right now? He was there by his father's command, but his brothers are still mocking him. Why are you coming out here? You're going to get hurt, little boy. Better go back to the sheep, making fun of him, mocking him. They didn't believe in him. Father didn't believe in him, but God believed in him. Not only did God believe in him, God put an anointing on him to change the nation. And God pulled him out of obscurity and put him head and shoulders above the rest. See, because God's not looking for what you look like on the outside, or where you came from in your past, or where you grew up, or which side of the tracks you grew up on. He's looking to see what's in your heart. And if it's in your heart that you want to be pleasing to him, that's how he could look at David and say, yeah, here's a man that made mistakes. I don't know if you know this or not. David was not only a praiser, a worshiper, sound like a wonderful dude, but he's also a murderer and he's also an adulterer. But in all of that, God looked down and said, now here's a man that's after my own heart. How did he say something like that about David? Because David's the kind of guy that would say, Lord, I pray, don't Cast me out of your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Renew within me a clean heart and a right spirit. And God said, there's a man I can use. Because although he's made mistakes, he's had his issues, he recognizes that without me, he is nothing and he needs my presence. And if he can be repentant, I'll come down and lift him head and shoulders above the rest. And God took a nobody and made him a somebody. He brought him out to the battlefield. Catch this. This will stir your spirit up before we pray. Brought him to the battlefield. And the Bible says that he walks out and hears Goliath's words. He starts getting mad. Who does he think he is talking about my God like that? Everybody else is hiding. The trained soldiers are hiding, peeking over the hill at the giant. David's out there with his little redneck attitude. Who are you talking to? Mad. You know why he was mad? It was good that he was mad. He was mad because he heard the giant blaspheming the name of God. He said, you ain't going to talk about my God like that. See, David, this is why God loved David so much. David had so much love for God. He wouldn't even let people trash talk God. You know, when you're going to school, anybody wanted the quickest way to a fight is you talk about somebody's mom. You can talk about me, you talk about my friend, you don't talk about my mom. Everybody, you know the quickest way, if you want to pick a fight, go after the mom. David, for him, quickest way to a fight, talk about his God. Don't talk about my God. And he came out there on the field, and in the midst of the giant mocking him and telling, I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the air. David just cuts him off. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. Which, by the way, was a statement of faith because he had no sword. Think about that. He had a sling. What's he going to do? Knock the giant down, wrap the sling around his neck till the head come off? He had to speak by faith. I'll cut your head off. I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the air. And everybody thinks that he killed him with a stone. That's not what the Bible says. The stone was just the thing that brought the giant under his feet. I want to get you this before we pray. Our God is a rock. Our Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. The same stone. And he had a stone in his pouch for the giant's forehead. And he put it in a sling and released it. See, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the Word made flesh. What this story is really showing us behind the scenes, if you can catch it, is that every giant in your life, you got a word for it. If you can just release a word at your giant, it's coming down below your feet. I said it's coming down underneath your feet. Take your word and release it at everything that said you die. And the word, catch it, and the word he released. See, that's revelation. The rock flew and hit Goliath in his forehead. Didn't kill him. Knocked him out and brought him down. But watch this. And David runs up and grabs the sword of Goliath out of his sheath. Now watch. The thing that was created to kill me is now in my hand. And I'm going to take out my giant with the thing that was created to kill me. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And he took the giant's sword, and the Bible said he cut off the giant's head. Picked up the head and went running back through the camp. And I mean, girls started singing, the Bible said. They started doing dances. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And girls are running up trying to get his Instagram account and Snapchat. People talking about him and people saying, I can't wait to see what he does next. And David became the hero of the nation, and he's running back through with the head of Goliath in his hand. The thing that's said he'd die, one stone from his pouch brought that giant under his feet. And what I'm prophesying to you tonight is whatever giant is standing in your life, get ready. It's being brought down low under your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, stand on your feet and lift your hands to heaven and give God all the praise. Come on, give him praise. When I tell you that there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper, that means it can't win. No wicked thing can win when you are connected to the vine. The vine is Jesus. See, that's why I stay in him. If I stay in him, I cannot be destroyed. If I stay in him, you know why? Because he can't be contaminated, which means I can't be contaminated. Power in the Holy Ghost, it will keep you free from the attack of the devil. If the enemy's been attacking you, it'll destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons Jesus came. 1 John 3:8, you know what it said? The Son of God was revealed so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not good. Everybody loves John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But see, that's only one side of the coin. If he's going to give you life abundantly, he first has to destroy what's holding back abundant life. That means if he's going to give you righteousness, he has to destroy the power of sin. If he's going to give you healing, he has to destroy the power of sickness. If he's going to give you prosperity, he has to destroy the power of poverty and lack. If he's going to give you peace and joy, he has to destroy depression and anxiety. And what I'm telling you, the good news is Jesus has already won. He's not going to win. He already won. And Paul said it this way. Thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be unto God who always gives us the what? Victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That means the victory's already won. All we got to do is grab it and take it. Take it for us. First of all, I want every head to be bowed as they're worshiping. Every eye to be closed. In a moment, I'm going to have the whole team come back. We're gonna praise the Lord as I pray for you. But I want to ask a question first because this is so vitally important. If there's even one person in the house tonight, you say, listen, I don't even know. I mean, if Jesus came back tonight, I'm not ready to see him, to be honest with you, because there's stuff in my life that's not right. I know for a fact that there are things in my life that are not pleasing to God, but I don't want to miss out on the promise of heaven. I don't want to miss out on eternity with God. Let me tell y'all something. Eternity is a long time. Our natural mind can't even understand how long it is. I said this morning, man, if you were to say to somebody a million years times a million years, and you haven't even scratched the surface of eternity, it's mind-blowing. But understand, heaven's forever. Understand something, hell is forever. And it's nothing to mess around with. It's life or death. Hear me when I tell you, there's no sex worth losing eternity over. There's no drug worth losing eternity over. Nothing you can steal that's worth losing your eternity over. Nothing is worth losing heaven and losing a relationship with God. God's not angry with you. He's not ready to punish you. He loves you. Loves you so much that he sent Jesus to be tortured and killed on your behalf. Took your punishment so you didn't have to take it. Took your beating, took your crucifixion, took your death so that you didn't have to die. That's a serious kind of love. The Bible says there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. That's the greatest form of love there ever was. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you this tonight. So very important. If there's even one person, you're in this church, you say, preacher, man, that's me. I know there's things in my life that need to change. And I want to be tonight sure that if Jesus came, I would be ready to see him when he comes. I don't want to miss my moment. I don't want to miss eternity over something that's been in my life that seemingly won't let me go. But I want to pray with you tonight. If that's you and you want to pray this prayer and make all things new, I want you to lift your hand, hold it high, and I'm going to pray with you. I see it over there, over here. Who else? Over there. Don't be ashamed. I see it back there, over here. Who else? This is your night for all things to be made new. Don't miss your moment. Who cares? I always tell this, who cares what people may think about you? The real question is, what does God think about you? What does God think about you? That's the question you've got to ask. When you stand in front of God, what's he going to say? You know what's interesting? Nobody can stand there with you. You stand there alone to give an account for your life. When you stand in front of God, check this out. You will stand in front of one of two personalities. Number one, you will either stand before a father or you'll stand before a judge. And the difference between a judge and a father is that a father pronounces blessings, but a judge pronounces a sentence. I don't want a sentence. I want a blessing. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." So I'll give you one more moment. If there's even one more person you say, "That's me. I want to pray that prayer with you, preacher, and know my life is right before God. I don't want to miss eternity." If that's you, lift your hand, hold it high, and I'm going to pray with you. Wherever you might be, don't miss it. He may not call again. That's why I say when God calls, when the Lord's calling you, don't hit the red decline button on the call. Answer the call. Now listen to me, very important. Those of you who lifted your hands, tonight is your night to pray this prayer, make all things new. Take a step of faith. I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come quick, quick, quick. As they're worshiping, come on. Come stand right here at this altar with me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, bro. Who else? You raised your hand. Don't miss your moment. Tonight is a night of turnaround. We'll not be the same after tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you one more moment. If you raised your hand, you're not moved yet, please come. Don't wait. Don't wait. Listen, if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to be at this altar, come. Jesus is calling you tonight. Jesus is calling you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. All things are being made new tonight. You'll never be the same. God's touching you. That's the presence of the Lord. Everything that was sent to destroy you is being removed from your life tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we praise you. Praise God. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's very simple. You know, some people can't believe salvation is that easy. They say, "I can't. Is that it?" Yes. It's not a 21-step process. God loves you. And he wants you to come into the kingdom. That's why he didn't make it hard. He made it easy through Jesus. So we're going to pray this prayer tonight. God's going to make all things new. I want you to repeat this prayer with me with a bold voice, a loud voice. Let the Lord know you mean business tonight. I'm not going back. I'm making a choice tonight to serve the Lord. Pray this with me. Say, "Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die or until you come. From this night forward, I give you my life. And I will live for you with my whole heart. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands. Father, I pray you give every one of them a mighty touch of the Holy Spirit tonight. Fill them with your presence. Fill them with your power. Put a hedge of protection around them. No evil will befall them. No harm, no danger. I pray that you give them a new boldness to do what you've called them to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it. And I give you praise. Just lift your hands in Jesus' name. My sister, all things are being made new. I tell you this, every issue that the enemy tried to use in your past to destroy you, to make you feel guilt and shame, or that you weren't good enough, it is removed tonight by the power of God. There's a new peace and a new joy coming upon your life. And I tell you, it's like tonight God lifts a weight off of your shoulders that tried to stay on you for so long. The weight is leaving. The heaviness is leaving. And from tonight, a new joy and a new peace is coming upon your life. And you'll never be the same again after this night. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Let me pray over you tonight, because I'll tell you this. The Lord showed me this when I was praying. There were people even in your life from the past that seemed, it's almost like there was a chain that was connected to your life. And it's like every time you had a desire to move forward and do what the Lord wants you to do, there was always people that were pulling you back to an old way of living. But tonight, in Jesus' name, that thing is severed. And everybody that had an evil plan for your life or to destroy your life, I pray they lose your number in Jesus' name. Somehow their phone drops in the toilet or something. And from this night, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving her the strength and the boldness to step out and do what you've called her to do. No turning back in Jesus' name. No turning back in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody thank the Lord with her. Lift your hands. Hold on. Lift your hands. I mean, the presence of God is here. Isn't God good? God's touching people all over this auditorium. Lena, step out. I'm going to give you a word here before you go, because God has a new level of anointing that's coming on your life tonight. And as you get ready to go, be a blessing to your generation. When do you leave? 21st. I'll tell you, from this night, a new anointing is coming on your life to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. She's getting ready to go overseas, minister the gospel to people that are in need of a change. And God's going to use you in a mighty way. This trip will change your life forever, as it's already begun to do before you've even left home. And God has put this burning desire in your heart. We've talked a little bit about it. You felt like look, if they don't want me back, whatever I got to do, this, I must do this. That's the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're willing to put your job on the line, everything else to serve the Lord, that shows there's a burning fire in your heart. God opened the door for you. He made the way for you. But he's opened the door, made a way, because there's something supernatural that's about to happen on this trip for you. As you step out in this new level of God's power on your life, it's going to be like, man, I've never seen anything like that in my life before. You'll feel a fulfillment as you work for God that you've never sensed before. But watch and see the people that are changed by God's power, because it's going to shake you up. Even the expectancy that you have now, God's going to surpass it. Amen? Because it's our year of what? Beyond. Beyond. We're going beyond the expectation, and God's going to exceed your expectation. You're going to come back with such a fire. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave a deposit where you're headed. From this night, now get ready for this and hear what I say. From this night, not only a new boldness jumps into your spirit, but now, God, an activation of the gifts of the Spirit and the miracles and signs and wonders of God, that as you lay your hands on those that need a touch, people begin to be changed supernaturally. And I tell you this, it won't just be sickness and disease, but you'll begin to see those that were addicted to drugs that'll begin to be delivered. And when you come back and you're here in Florida, it'll even still be operating here as God puts those people in your life, and deliverance will come to every life. And they're going to be like, what in the world happened to me? But it's the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you from this night. In Jesus' name, I come in to be filled with fresh fire of the Holy Ghost from this night. In the mighty name of Jesus, And as you minister for God, you'll never be the same from this night forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My friend, thank you for being here tonight. I'll tell you this, as I was preaching, I could tell something that was supernatural, is that God has preserved your life from death supernaturally. Whether you know it or not, God had angels watching over you, because there were certain people that wanted you dead, and God made sure that never took place. Actually had angels watching out for you, whether you know it or not. The Lord showed me that as I was preaching tonight. That's because God has a purpose for your life. He wouldn't have kept you alive and kept you in a place where you were preserved if he wasn't going to do something great in your life. And I'm telling you, from this night, God's going to begin to use you. And I don't know you from anybody. You don't know me from anybody. But I can tell you this, is that God has a plan to touch men and women that others would call untouchable. There's people that others say, man, I don't know, that's a hard case. That's somebody that I don't think they'll ever listen to the gospel. I don't think they'll ever listen to the Bible. I don't think they'll ever go to church. But God will use your life to be somebody who's a go-between, you know what I mean? A middleman that would bring those who others said, they'll never get it. They'll never have it. God could never touch them. The devil's a liar. God will use you to bring that avenue of relief to those that were on their way to hell. And I don't know what your background is with church or if you serve, I don't know anything about you. But I'm telling you this, as a man of God tonight, God has a great purpose on your life. You are important to God, I'll tell you that. And God does have a plan for you. If you don't mind, would you lift your hands as I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would use him in a mighty way. Lord, for those that others said wouldn't make it, those that others said weren't worthy of it, those that others said were too hard to catch it, use my brother in Jesus' name to open up a way to those that others said were unsavable, unchangeable, unreachable. And I pray you use these hands in Jesus' name to reach a generation that was unreached previously. Fill him with the power of God and use him to bring in this end time harvest of souls before Jesus comes back. Father, I pray that you'd use him. Those that were addicted to drugs, use him to bring them in and bring them deliverance from drugs. Those that were about to take their own life in suicide, Father, use him to bring them out of that situation where suicide would take their life. The untouchables, Lord, let him touch the untouchables in Jesus' name. I thank you that it's beginning to happen even now. Open doors for him to be used by the power of God in Jesus' mighty name. And my brother, I'm telling you, never again doubt the fact, not only does God love you, he's got a great purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Lift your hands all over this place. Touching the untouchable. Reaching the unreachable. God has a purpose for every one of us. Hear this. Never again should you ever think, well, you know, I'm just an insignificant member of the body. There's no such thing as an insignificant member of the body of Christ or your physical body. I always tell people, if you think there's an insignificant part of the body, when you get home, take a hammer and smash your pinky toe and see how insignificant it is. You'll realize real quick, I need it. And that's how God feels about you. I need her. I need him. I need her. I need her. You're not insignificant. You're important in the kingdom. You're important in the kingdom. Amen. Listen, I'm going to pray for everybody in just a moment. Where did my wife go? Did she leave? She's in the back. Did you already give each one? My wife, I wrote something just for you. Whether this is the first time you've prayed this prayer, if you've prayed it before and you're just rededicating your heart to the Lord, I say thank God for that. But I wrote something just for you that I want you to take you maybe, you know, 3 minutes to read it. But it's just an encouragement and it's a next steps. And then this awesome pastor right here and his wife right here, they are powerful people of God. And if you don't have a home church, I want to encourage you to make this your home church. Because one thing I know about Pastor Josh and his wife Corinne is that they will preach the word of faith into your spirit. And they'll put you in position to be successful in the kingdom of God. And they love people. Amen. That makes all the difference. Amen. Makes all the difference in the world. Amen. I want you to just take that when you get back, read it. It'll just give you some practical steps into making sure you stay in the kingdom of God and stay successful. I want you to lift your hands all over this room. Now my sister, I got to meet my sister Laura this morning. But the Lord was speaking to me about you while I was preaching. And you know what he said? He said he's going to use you in a mighty way to be a blessing to this generation. And I heard this as I was preaching. Not only is God going to use you in the anointing to touch those that are broken, but do you know that God is also going to give you ideas from heaven and even business ideas from heaven so that you'll be successful in the kingdom and be a blessing to your generation? But not only will he give you secrets from heaven, but he's anointing you even for those that were forsaken and abused and thought were counted out. But God's anointing your life from this night. For you have a heart for people. And the Lord says, I see her heart for people, her love for people, and I can use her love for people to bring them into the kingdom. And so God's going to begin to give you open doors. I tell you what Paul called doors of opportunity. They're coming open to you. It's a wonderful thing. Whatever was hard, it seemed like it was hard before, it's going to be so very easy to you. He'll give you the words to speak. There'll be no intimidation, fear, or trepidation about this. You'll be able to step right out in boldness and say the words that need to be said to bring healing to the hearts of men and women. But then also on top of that, hear what I say. God has ideas that are coming to you from his presence. Ideas. And he told me to tell you, find a way to record the ideas of God. Whether you write them down in your phone, tablet, sheet of paper, however you've got to do it. He's going to begin to drop ideas in your spirit. And they're going to be a blessing to you personally. And they're going to cause you to be a blessing to the kingdom. Lift your hands to the Lord. And I tell you, from this night, the blessing of God comes upon your life in a new and a fresh dimension. You'll overflow in blessing. You will overflow in blessing. In fact, those that are close to you, they'll start to tell each other, even behind your back. Say, I don't know what it is with her. It seems like everything she touched turns to gold. Everything she touched turns to gold. That's just the blessing of the Lord. And you give him all the praise for it and the glory because it'll be him that brings it to you. But he's doing this to put you on a pedestal, to be a pillar in the house of God. Somebody who has a heart to see the harvest come in. And he's making you a blessing to your generation. So get ready for the increase is coming. It's coming quickly. And those that you are touching now, get ready. It's happening quickly. I tell you, before this week comes to an end, doors will already begin to come open. They will already begin to come open. And God's going to use you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, just take one more moment. Lift those hands. This might be a little different than what you're used to. If you come from another place or you've not been in a service like this, it's just, we're just flowing with the Holy Ghost. Whatever he wants to do, we'll do. And before we leave tonight, God's touching his people because he loves us. He has a plan to bless us. I said he has a plan to bless us. You know, that's one thing about God that I love is that he always has a plan to bless you. When others said you can't be blessed, there's no way for you to get out of the issue, the struggle you're in. God said, I'll bring that thing to an end in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I pray for you, sister? Would you step? Can I pray for you? Yes. Would you step out? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? I'll tell you this. Even this is going back maybe even 15, 20 years. But there was like almost like a devastating hurt that happened to you. And you felt like, oh, I don't even know if I can move past this. I don't even know if I can move on. It was such a heartbreaking thing that happened. And it so affected you in your joy and in your peace that it almost became like a roadblock. And you thought, oh, I just don't even know if I'll be able to move past this now. And it felt like it was a stopping point in your life. But today I'm telling you, I heard the Lord say that he's removing every hurt from your heart tonight in Jesus' name. And the things that used to hold you back, it felt like a roadblock to your life and your walk. It is removed tonight from your path. And you're walking forward in the joy of the Lord and in the peace of God. Amen. Does that make sense to you so far?
Amen.
Yeah. And number two, listen to this. as a result of that, sometimes you'd even have a battle. It's almost like sometimes your stomach would begin to bother you and you'd have issues. I want you to lay one hand on your belly, lay one hand on your stomach. The healing power of God comes into your body tonight, and every issue is being made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'll tell you this, no effects of anything from your past will cause an issue in your body. No lasting effects. I'll tell you this, you'll never have cancer in Jesus' name. By any means will you ever have cancer or battle cancer. For the Lord is healing your body tonight. I actually saw the anointing of God going through your lungs tonight as I was preaching, and God's touching you. Sometimes God will give you what he calls a preemptive word. He doesn't have to wait till you're in trouble to get you out. He'll preserve you from trouble. And I tell you prophetically, sister, you'll never battle cancer in Jesus' name. Your stomach receives a touch, and everything that was a weight on your shoulders, I lose joy in the Holy Ghost to you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Now, how many of you need a miracle tonight? You're believing God for a miracle? You're believing God for something to turn around? Amen. My sister, you have the nice green shirt on. Just step out in the aisle. I don't know if it's been you, or I felt like it was you, but you're even believing for a new job or a better job. But I tell you this, the Lord said that you'll have your own business, that he will give you your own company, and you won't have to be searching for a better job or better benefits, better pay, better. What about this commute time? What about that commute time? Do I need to move here? Do I need to move up there? But God said he will put the blessing in your house, put the blessing in your hands, and that you will run your own business for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to lift your hands because it's coming quickly, and God is restoring your joy, and he's restoring your time back to you. Because one of the things that frustrates you is when your time is stolen from you, your time is wasted from you. But God said, I'm going to restore your time, restore your joy. This is going to be the greatest season of your life that you've ever experienced. Your best days aren't behind. They're right in front of you. What God's about to do is greater than anything you've ever seen in your past. So get ready. Power of God come upon her tonight. And the blessing of heaven, the blessing of heaven comes upon you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you who lifted your hand, you said, that's me. I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for a turnaround. I want you to join these at the altars. And I'm going to pray a prayer for everyone before we dismiss, before we do anything else. I want to pray for every one of you. Because, see, this is a week we're believing for miracles. This is a week we're believing for the turnaround. Can you say amen? Somebody shout, it's my night for a miracle. Come on in. You can scoot all the way down if you have to. There's other people I know standing. But tonight is our night to receive. It's our night to receive. In Jesus' mighty name. It's our night to receive. Oh, hallelujah. It's our night to receive. Our night to receive. Somebody say, it's my night to receive. Say it again. It's my night to receive. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's getting ready to be an open door for you as well, I'm telling you. You have people that are already connected to you right now that are literally on the verge of a breakdown. People that are struggling in their mind. And here's the crazy part about it. Is that the Bible says we can never judge by people's outward appearance what they're dealing with on the inside. The book of Proverbs says that there are those who laugh, but their laughter conceals a heavy heart. So I tell you this, as God begins to use you, don't ever judge who you're ministering to by what they look like on the outside. They can look like they got it all together, but they're falling apart inside. God's going to use you to keep people from death. I'm talking about death. Where they're on the verge of saying, I don't know if it's even worth living anymore. But God is pulling them to you and using you to change their life for the better forever. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands. As I lay my hands upon you, there is an anointing coming on you to break that yoke of bondage. that would try to come on people's minds and their hearts, that would try to steal their life. And from this night, it must go in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her tonight. I rebuke every suicidal spirit, every wicked thing that the enemy would use to destroy God's people in Jesus' mighty name. Now lift your hands if you would all over this room. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over every attack against your people. Lord, if they're battling sickness or disease tonight, I take authority over that in Jesus' name. I command sickness and disease to leave their body. I loose healing virtue into them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you from this night forward. Disease must go. Sickness must go. Health must come in Jesus' mighty name. I take authority over depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, panic attacks, ADD, ADHD. It must go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every attack against the mind of God's people is broken tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I lose peace. I lose joy in the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every addiction, I want you to lift those hands. Every addiction that tried to hold on to God's people, Lord, whether it be nicotine, alcohol, pornography, drug, whatever it is, them or their family, their loved ones that they're standing believing for, I take authority over addictions tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And I rebuke the enemy that would hold people in an invisible prison. I command every door to swing wide open tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Every door swing wide by the power of God. And I thank you that tonight is a night of freedom in Jesus' name. This young lady with the Hurley t-shirt, can I pray for you? God's touching you right now. And I'll tell you what's happening. He's restoring your joy as well. Is that the heaviness that you've felt that's tried to overtake you? It's an attack of the devil. The Lord said he loves you so much. He's giving you tonight a new joy and a new peace. And your mind, I'll tell you this, you're going to sleep better than you've ever slept before. No more waking up in the night. No more anxiety. No more depression. No more heaviness that tried to overtake you. From this night, all things are being made new. Oh, hallelujah. All things are being made new. Lift your hands to the Lord. He loves you. And from this night, I tell you, that yoke of bond, that heaviness, that's why I called it an invisible prison, because sometimes people deal with it, feels like you can't get out. Feels like no matter what you do, you can't seem to, and you're like, I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm dealing with this, why I'm having to go through this. But it's an attack of the devil. It's not normal. It's not a chemical imbalance in the mind. It's not something that's because of what something you ate somewhere. No, it's an attack of the devil. The Bible says it's called a spirit of heaviness. And tonight, the Lord sets you free. And a new joy comes into your spirit. I'll tell you, you're going to go home laughing, wake up laughing through the day. People say, what got into her? It's a new joy coming into your spirit tonight. And the same for my sister over here. Where did I see her? Same joy. Same one coming on you. I'm telling you, get ready from this night. A new joy coming on you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I want you to, all over this room, before we do anything else, join hands one with another right here at God's altar. And I'm gonna loose this. I'm going to loose this authority by the power of God. I'm telling you, this is a chain-breaking week. How many? Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here know somebody that's addicted to drugs? If you do, lift your hand. I was just, and this opioid epidemic that's been going through the East Coast of America, it's coming to an end in Jesus' name. I was just in New Hampshire not long ago. A girl came in strung out. I'm talking about shaking, scratching. And she said, I've done heroin every day of my life for the past. And she listed how many years every day. I said, tonight God's going to touch you. I laid hands on her and the power of God hit her that night. She came back the next night with a testimony. She said, let me tell you what happened to me. She said, I woke up this morning. She said, not only did I not do heroin today, I didn't even have the desire to do heroin. Came back looking like a completely different girl. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to set the captives free by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we're going to pray right now, a prayer of deliverance. A prayer of deliverance. Whatever was holding God's people in bondage, it is coming to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. This is a prayer of deliverance. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we declare that the power of God is greater than every attack of the devil against anyone's life. And so tonight, I curse every attack of the devil. I take authority over addictions. And I thank you, Lord, this is a night of divine freedom. I rebuke every enemy that would hold people in bondage. And tonight, I command every captive to be set free by the power of God. No more chains in Jesus' name. No more chains in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise for everything you've done tonight and all you're going to do this week. And if you believe it, somebody clap those hands and give God all the praise. Come on. Yes. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.